Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Misha Tate, and you're listening to Carson's Corner.
This is Stitch Duran, and you're listening to Carson's Corner. Make sure you stay tuned in.
This is Justin Ray Harvey, Frank Duke's student. You're listening to the best of the best shows on the web and beyond. Carson's Corner with Bob Carson.
This is Bo, the one-man army Taylor, media darling and Midwest champion of the world. You're listening to the only radio show that's hard-hitting, keeps it real, and does not pull punches. Carson's Corner.
This is the coach, Sean Tompkins, and you're listening to the best in mixed martial arts, Carson's Corner.
Okay, let's go. Yeah, g'day, this is Justin Lawrence calling from my backyard in Australia, mate. You're listening to Bob Carson, the finest investigative journalist in mixed martial arts history. Listen to his show, I love it.
Hey, this is Joey Odessa, and you're listening to me on the Bob Carson Show, the show that lets no words barred give a whole new perspective to no holds barred.
These days, it's not much fun at Bally's and Caesars in Atlantic City. The CEO is playing the corporate greed game, cutting dealers' hours, cutting retirement and health benefits, even breaking the law by refusing to bargain. Yet he paid himself $39 million last year, with plenty of perks. When Bally's and Caesars play games with casino dealers, it's not fun for anybody. And everybody loses. That's why the UAW Atlantic City Dealers Union paid for this time.
Around the world once again. This is Carson's Corner, and my name is Bob Carson. It is Friday, February 15th, 2019, and I got to tell you, we have a great, great weekend for mixed martial arts fans and people like me. It is just absolutely astounding the amount of shows that have that are taking place. Tonight, you've got Invicta. What is it? Invicta 34 or 35, I believe. I won't be able to watch that. I'll be in Connecticut covering the Bellator events. You've got Bellator 215 tonight, and you've also got Bellator 216 tomorrow. So I'm going to be heading up pretty much right after the show to the Mohegan Sun Arena, which I've been to several times before. And it's really exciting 2 days for me. And then on Sunday, you've got the UFC on ESPN, which is a very, very good card. A lot of really good fights on this card, and I'm thankful that I'll be able to see, you know, with the exception of Invicta, I'll be able to see pretty much all three of the shows, and I'm really, really excited about that. And I'm also very excited to be covering Bellator again. The last Bellator event I covered was when Gegard Mousasi fought Shlemenko, and that was a very, very tough and controversial fight, which Gegard Mousasi won, I think, via split decision. That was back in 2016. And, you know, since then, it's been very, very busy for Bellator. They've had a number of shows. They've had, of course, the heavyweight tournament that commenced a few weeks ago. I think they also had a welterweight tournament as well. And they've really put on a lot of shows, back-to-back shows in Hawaii last month and the month before. They really, really are doing good things. They've announced a new network deal with Sky TV. Of course, now, as you know, they're on DAZN. And they're still acquiring a lot of the big fighters. They have a lot of money behind them. And, you know, Bellator has always been pretty good to me in terms of press access. I mean, they haven't granted me access to every show. You know, when they ran at Madison Square Garden, I think it was Bellator 170, they had limited media seatings, but you know, they tried to accommodate me, and you never know, you know, depending upon how much press demand there is, if you're going to get access to these shows. But tonight, like I said, I'm going to be attending Bellator 215, and I got to tell you, I don't know what's going to happen tonight with the press conference. A lot of times what Bellator will do is after they have their shows, this is at Mohegan Sun. I don't know how they do it at other arenas, but I think it's pretty much the same. They'll have the fights, and they'll have a post-fight media scrum usually in the back area, but they don't really have like a press conference seating arrangement like the UFC does. You know, the UFC has these events, and they'll pull in the fighters, you know, the winners and the losers, and they'll have all the media there, and they'll have a microphone set up, and so actually a pretty nice setup. But Bellator usually doesn't do that for the Mohegan Sun. They'll usually have a scrum right in the back there where you're standing, and you know you're surrounded by a bunch of reporters and media people, and that's how you get to ask questions. As far as the media seating at Mohegan Sun, I really enjoy going to this venue because there's not a lot of seats there. It's not a big arena. I don't know what the capacity is, but it's, you know, probably around, you know, between 5 and 10,000 people. It's not that big of an arena there. And the press seating is usually right alongside the cage. I'm usually right up there, you know, maybe in the first or second row. So no matter where you sit, if you're in the press box, you have a good vantage point of the action. You can really see a lot of what's going on. And they'll have a lot of celebrities there, too, which is pretty cool because it's a casino, you know, it's an attraction. So you'll get a lot of famous actors. Last time I was there, you had Ron Perlman, the guy from, I think it was Sons of Anarchy, a very famous actor. He was there. A couple basketball players were there. And, you know, they have some MMA legends there, and it's pretty cool because you get to actually pretty walk right by these individuals and see that. And so that's why it's kind of extra exciting to go to the Mohegan Sun, a very small venue and a very, very good venue for viewing the events and for the fights to take place. And I'm very, very excited about that. I want to talk a little bit about the card tonight. I'm not going to break down every fight, but just the main fights on these cards, because there are some fights, particularly in Bellator 216. Bellator 216, which the main event is Paul Daly versus Michael Venom Page. I'm really excited about that. Bellator has tried to make that fight for quite some time, for years now, and they tried to get it done in the UK, and it didn't happen. And, you know, there's some discrepancy as far as which fighter signed the contract first, who wanted it, blah, blah, blah. But nonetheless, this is a really, really exciting fight with two exciting fighters, and you know it's not going to go to the ground, you know. You know that none of these two are going to want to take the fight to the ground. Paul Daly guarantees he's going to win this fight, and Michael Venom Page is his usual confident self. This is, like I said, it's going to be a really, really exciting fight. Supposedly these two don't like each other, which you hear that a lot in promotion. I don't know, you know, how true that is. It's really, really difficult to gauge that. Paul Daly says he doesn't hate Michael Venom Page. He just wants to fight him, and who knows? Michael Venom Page doesn't like Paul Daly. I don't know. But I will say this, though. I did watch some of the press conference from the other day, and I know they had the scuffle at one of the other ones, but it didn't seem like there was really too much animosity there. You know, just probably more of a competitive thing going on between two fighters. I thought Paul Daly kept it professional. You know, he didn't really talk about, you know, Michael Page's situation with his father and everything, which I thought was good. I thought it was really kind of respectful. I don't know if he'd mentioned anything before. I know Paul Daly for a long time said that he had a secret about Michael Venom Page that he was going to come out with, and I don't know what happened with that. But, you know, it really almost doesn't matter, although you know, in today's day and age, if you have two fighters that have, there's a lot of trash talk and so on and so forth, and the promotion promotes it that way, and it's an intriguing fight, that could make a difference. I mean, we've seen what happened with the UFC and their trash talkers, and sometimes it works. There's just no question about that. I mean, the UFC, you had UFC 234, which I made a YouTube video about, which had a really, really thin card and was just a terrible card to try to put on pay-per-view. And it was supposed to have two guys in Robert Whittaker and Calvin Gastelum that, you know, are the exact opposite, don't like to talk trash about their opponents. And there was almost no buzz for that. Nobody wanted to see that. I mean, all people wanted to see it, but it wasn't anywhere near some of the other main events that they've had, the UFC. So it could make the difference and whatnot. But I'm going to talk a little bit more about that a little later. And tonight, as I mentioned, you've got the Bellator 215 featuring Matt Mitrione versus Sergey Karatanov. And I'm really excited about this fight. I mean, this is probably the one fight on this card that I'm most looking forward to. I had an opportunity to interview Matt Mitrione last year or the year before, before he fought Fedor, and I like Matt Mitrione. He's an outspoken guy, very, very personable guy. You know, he's good with the media, and I like outspoken, personable guys that, doesn't go out of his way to try to be disrespecting, but he just speaks his mind. He says pretty much whatever's on his mind. He's gotten, you recall, in trouble for his comments about, I think, transgender athletes and whatnot. And I like Matt Mitrione. He's a fan of the show. I've had him on the program before. Politically, he's a libertarian, but really all that doesn't matter because Matt Mitrione is an exciting fighter. And he's a guy that, his last fight versus Ryan Bader obviously didn't go that well. He was taken down, for five rounds. And Bader, did what he had to do to win the fight. And, he just looked absolutely dominant on the ground. But that's not, Matt Mitrione's style. I mean, Matt Mitrione, if he can't stop takedown, if he goes against a really, really good wrestler like Ryan Bader, that's what happened. But, typically, if you look throughout his career, he hasn't really had that happen to him too much. He's primarily a striker, a stand-up fighter who has good lateral movement, who is really, really athletic, just a very, very athletic, calls himself a genetic goon, which he definitely is. Matt is still kicking and showing no signs of slowing down, even though he's about, 38, 39 years old, Matt Mitrione. But it doesn't matter because he I think, definitely is a genetic goon and can really do well for himself. But I think, to be honest with you, I think he's going to really have a problem with Sergey Karatanov, who's coming off of like a 6 or 7 fight win streak and coming off some really, really good performances, particularly his last performance over Roy Nelson, a devastating victory. And, this guy Karatanov, I was there when he fought Javi Ayala, and that was his last loss, when he fought Javi Ayala, and Javi Ayala landed this punch that it was probably one of the best knockouts I've seen in person. That was a first-round knockout, just a overhand right, I believe it was, in Bone. I mean, Karatanov went down. He was knocked out. That was a spectacular knockout on the part of Javi Ayala. But that was the last time he lost, and that was, back in, I think that was the same card as the Shlemenko Musasi card. And since then, he's put on a string of victories. And if you look at Sergey Karatanov's career, this guy has a history of, devastating knockouts over, really, really good opponents, former champions. He has knockouts over Alistair Overeem, Andrei Arlovsky, He's beaten the likes of Fabricio Werdum, former UFC champion, and he's really went on a really, really good run over the last 2 years since his loss to Javi Ayala. And I just think at this point, it could be a dangerous fight for Matt Mitrione, you know, because, again, it's just, this is a game of momentum. This is a game of streaks, okay? You get a fighter that's on a streak and doing well, and, you know, suddenly, you know, he could go on a championship run. Now, of course, anything could happen. You know, Matt Mitrione is a very, very dangerous striker himself. He certainly has one-punch knockout power. But, you know, if I had to really pick a winner of this, if I had to say, I think the tide is going to be in this guy's favor, well, it probably would be Sergei Kharitonov, who's a really, really tough guy. For the most part, he has a good chin. I mean, look, anybody can get knocked out in, you know, their fighting career. In fact, if you haven't gotten knocked out, chances are you haven't fought the right opponent yet. But he doesn't have that many KO losses, TKO losses. You know, he's got some submission losses and whatnot. But for the most part, he has a decent chin on him. And very, very good punching power. So this is going to be an intriguing fight because this is a fight, another fight that you know most likely is not going to go to the ground. I think if this fight does go to the ground, it's most likely going to be from Mitrione. That would just be my guess. But again, you know, I could be wrong. But this is going to be the main event tonight at the Mohegan Sun Arena, which I will be there, ladies and gentlemen. And we will see what happens. There's not too many other fights on this card, to be honest with you, that I'm really, really looking forward to. You know, there's Eduardo Dantes is fighting. Not sure who he's fighting. I don't have that in front of me. I got to get that. But there's really, really not a lot of other fights that I'm looking forward to on this card. This is sort of almost a one-fight card, you know. I'm kind of trying to scroll and trying to get the fight card in front of me here. Let's see here. Yeah. Yeah, so you've got Logan Storley versus Ian Paschal. I don't really know too much about those guys. Mike Kimball versus John Duma. Eduardo Dantes versus Toby Misch. I don't know really who that fighter is. There is an interesting fight on the undercard. There's this big heavyweight out of American Top Team named Steve Mowry. He's about 6'8", or so, undefeated. And he's fighting a fighter, I think, who's like 0-1 or 1-0, is making his professional debut. And so that's going to be a pretty interesting fight because this guy Mowry is an attraction. I believe he was a former hockey player or something. And that should be a pretty interesting fight there. But really, other than that, I mean, there's not really too many exciting fights on this card. Tomorrow is really, really going to be the big event for Bellator and for the fans, of course, out there. And so we're going to get into that just a few moments here. If you want to give me a call, you can at 347-326-9749. That's 347-326-9749. I'm going to actually try to be staying the night over there. I want to see if I can get a cheap hotel there and you know, stay the night so I don't have to come back to New Jersey and go back there tomorrow. Also, I just got word that there's going to be a press conference in Madison Square Garden next week, February 19th, for the Anthony Joshua Big Baby Miller fight, which is going to take place in June. And I'm really excited about that because I'm probably going to be going to the press conference this week, and I may try to go to that event. I don't know, you know, how they do their press seating and their press arrangements, Matchbox Boxing, but there's a good chance I'll probably try to go to that And the great one himself, ladies and gentlemen, Eddie Goldman, is going to be going to that fight card. This is Anthony Joshua's first fight in the United States. You know, we know he could sell it any type of arena in the UK, 80,000 people. He's a huge draw. He's making tens of millions of dollars. Great fighter, great kid. I had an opportunity to ask him a few questions at the Vladimir Klitschko press conference in New York City about 2 years ago when he fought Klitschko, and they did that big press conference at Madison Square Garden. HBO was there. It was a really, really cool environment. I like Anthony Joshua. I really do. This is a test that he should pass against Big Baby Miller, who's a big, big heavyweight out of Brooklyn, New York. Young guy, young fighter, you know, knockout power, but you know, this should be a test that's certainly passable for Joshua. And I'm going to be there. And so hopefully we'll be able to get the press passes for that. It'd be nice to start covering some of these big boxing events and see, you know, just how Matchbox Boxing and Eddie Hearn and those folks deal with the press. I'm sure they're a little bit better at dealing with the press than the UFC. The UFC is absolutely horrendous at dealing with independent media. They're very vindictive. There's a lot of politics involved. And I applied to UFC Brooklyn, and they denied me. They always deny me, the UFC. You know, Dana White has blocked me on Twitter. I just don't have a real good reputation with them. You know, precisely because I'm not somebody who toes the line. I'm somebody that, you know, just can't go along with whatever the promotion wants to do. And, you know, I make some noise on Twitter, whatever, you know. But it is what it is. It's unfortunate because I think that, you know, organizations like the UFC and other promotions, they owe it to us to have us cover their event. You know, if you're covering the event, if you're covering mixed martial arts for 14 or 15 years, okay, before, you know, the Johnny Come Lately sites got involved, you've contributed to the sport, and you should deserve to cover the sport, no matter if you're financed by one of these big companies and these corporations and whatnot. You know, you're part of the sport. You've dedicated yourself to the sport over the years, and it shouldn't be a what can you do for me type of relationship. I mean, that's what the UFC essentially cares about. They only care about you know, the reach. They only care about, you know, it's a business to them. There's no such thing as morality. There's no such thing as respect. It's just terrible. You know, Bellator at least cares, at least appreciates guys like myself and Eddie Goldman and others, guys that have been independent for years and not, you know, one of these prostitutes that you see in the MMA media, just despicable, disgusting lightweights that have no integrity whatsoever. They only cover what's relevant to the promotion that pays them, you know. And so, you know, the Ariel, you know who these people are. They're just repulsive, and I hope I don't have to see any of them tonight. You know, this guy from ESPN, that they're all just a bunch of shills trying to make money, trying to do whatever their paymasters require. They don't take any stances on any issues that could offend anybody. They don't want to offend anybody. They want to have every fighter like them because they need access. They want to cover whatever the UFC wants them to cover. They're just fake, phony, disgusting people. And, you know, those are the people that, you know, get the jobs because they don't have integrity. They really, really don't. And so, you know, Bellator, to their credit, they appreciate guys like me covering their sport, which I have for, you know, God, 11, 12 years now. You know, I covered Bellator, I covered IFL, I've covered Strikeforce, and you know, Coker and those guys, they do have an appreciation for that, and I appreciate that. Even though sometimes I've had disagreements with them, sometimes I've been bumped from events. You know, I had a big, you know, kind of back and forth with some of the higher ups at Spike TV, but that happens. You know, I mean, it's understandable in this day and age, and I understand. All I deserve, ladies and gentlemen, is the right to cover these events, and the UFC deprives me of that right. I really believe that. And as far as someone like Eddie Goldman, I remember a few months ago when the UFC put out their 25th anniversary documentary about the licensing or the unified rules of mixed martial arts in New Jersey. Eddie Goldman was there at the time. Eddie Goldman sat in on that very important meeting, and you had guys like John Peretti who were back there, were around back then. The UFC tried to get them to appear on their documentary. Eddie Goldman, out of principle, said, "No, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to participate in this sham. You know, you guys are not capable of recording history," and he's absolutely right, accurately recording history. And he's absolutely right. And that's just integrity all the way on the part of Eddie Goldman. And you know, that's what the UFC is all about. It's terrible, folks. It really is. All right. You also, as I mentioned, of course, you have Bellator 216. And this is really the main card of the weekend here. Okay, this is a very, very good card, which has intriguing fights, you know, from top to bottom. Of course, with the main event in Paul Daly versus Michael Venom Page. Michael Venom Page, of course, is undefeated. Very, very devastating striker. And Paul Daly is coming off of a loss. Paul Daly, of course, is coming off of a loss against John Fitch, a very, very boring fight in which, you know, John Fitch did what you would expect him to do. You know, he took him down and he wrestled him for, you know, the duration of the fight. It wasn't an exciting fight, but he did what he had to do. I'm trying to get the fight card pulled up here. My computer is just offensively slow here, ladies and gentlemen. But you also have one of the fights on this card, from my memory, is Czech Congo versus Vitaly Minnikov. And this is a rematch from, you know, several years ago where Minnikov won, I believe, a split decision. And Minnikov, of course, was the former Bellator heavyweight champion. Undefeated fighter, 21-0, Vitaly Minnikov. Has victories over Alexander Volkov, the UFC heavyweight contender. He has victories over Bigfoot Silva last year, knockout over Bigfoot Silva. And there's a lot of intrigue about this guy, and I've always been intrigued by him because he is an undefeated fighter. He is, I think, definitely the real deal. Now, I don't know how excited I am to see him fight, you know, Czech Congo. Like I said, this is a rematch, and, you know, Czech Congo is not known to have exciting fights. So, but nonetheless, this would be the first time I would see Minnikov in person, and I'm looking forward to it. And I think it should be a repeat of what happened, and I think he really, now that he's back with Bellator, is really going to add some depth to the Bellator heavyweight division, which has, you know, guys like Matt Mitrione, Fedor. I don't think Fedor is going to be around too much longer, and his contract, I'm not sure exactly how many fights he has left on his contract, but we may see him again. You know, you've got Karatanov, you've got Mirko Krokop, you've got Roy Nelson, you've got, of course, this Jack Swagger, the former professional wrestler now, who fought last month and won. So you got some interesting fighters in Bellator's heavyweight division. And, you know, look, if Minnikov could win, he could stay undefeated and continue to stay undefeated. Who knows what's going to happen to him? You know, who knows and this should be a really, really good fight. You know, Chuck Congo is still at it. You know, he's not a young guy himself. He's 41, 42, 43 years old. Always been in great shape, Chuck Congo. Always been a really, really just solid fighter, no matter what happens. And if I'm not mistaken, he's coming off of a real devastating victory over Tim Johnson, former UFC heavyweight, who recently went over to Bellator. I mean, that was like that fight lasted about 30 seconds or so. I think Johnson tapped out from strikes or something. But Chuck Congo looked really, really scary in that fight. And so that's going to be a really, really interesting fight. You also have on this card Eric Silva. Eric Silva, the former UFC welterweight fighter, who is an exciting fighter in his own right. You know, Eric Silva, of course, had a long kind of history in the UFC, losing to the likes of John Fitch, but nonetheless, he's really, really proved to be a very, very exciting fighter there. Somebody definitely you want to watch. But he's you know, coming off of turns in the LFA, and you know, prior to that, he had kind of a mixed run in the UFC, had some victories over Josh Koscheck and Mike Rhodes going back a few years ago, but lost to Magny and Yancy Madero and Jordan Mean. But nonetheless, he's starting a new chapter in his career at Bellator, and you know, could really, really be a very, very, very good addition to the Bellator roster there in his weight class. I really don't know much about his opponent, to be honest with you. Yaroslav Amosov. I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly there. But you know, you'd have to think that he is the favorite going into that fight. But again, I don't know anything about his opponent. I have not seen his opponent fight. Sounds like he could be a Dagestani fighter or whatnot. And, you know, look, I'm sure that they're not going to be putting him against Eric Silva if he is a slouch. Now, I'm looking at his record. Now, it looks like he's an undefeated fighter. He's an undefeated fighter from the Ukraine. So, you know, like I said, I haven't seen him fight before, but he could be the next big thing. He could be a real phenom here, you know, ladies and gentlemen, because my guess is that he's probably a young fighter, you know, up and coming, and is looking to fight some big names here, which he really hasn't done so far. He's fought a lot overseas. His biggest win of his career was against Gerald Harris, his last fight at Bellator 202. And so this is going to be a real step up for him. And, you know, if he could win, again, the future is wide open for him as well. So that's sort of the another fight that I guess will be exciting for the fans out there tomorrow night at Bellator 216. Ladies and gentlemen, very, very excited about that. And, of course, you've got the other heavyweight fight on that card, which is Mirko Krokop versus Roy Nelson. And these are both guys that are, you know, it's hard to say, but arguably past their primes. I mean, they're both into their 40s, okay? Krokop, I've seen some videos of him preparing for this fight, and he's always in very, very good shape. But he is on some sort of a winning streak. I mean, he's, you know, beat Ishii twice. I think he knocked out Mo Lawal a few years ago, Gabriel Gonzaga. He's, you know, age sometimes is just a number for these fighters. And, you know, this is another rematch here because Roy Nelson beat Krokop years ago. years ago. We're talking about 8 years ago back at UFC 137. And I probably saw that fight. But, you know, some of these fights, you don't even remember seeing them. You know, there's so much MMA out there that it's hard to remember what, you know, these fights. But, yeah, definitely this is a rematch, and it should be a really, really exciting fight. And, you know, potentially a new chapter in Krokop's career, you know. Now, as far as Roy Nelson, I know he's coming off of a loss to Karatanov. And that was a fight in which, you know, you start to say, okay, maybe should Roy Nelson retire, or maybe he should give some thoughts, you know, as far as a retirement. I know that's a difficult question. It's not easy to say that, and, you know, you shouldn't really say it cavalierly. I mean, he's had a very, very good career. He's fought, you know, the absolute best in the UFC. I mean, I remember covering Roy Nelson back in 2005 and 2006 when he fought Brad Arims at the IFL. I mean, the guy's just been around for a long time, 42 years old, and kind of an anomaly with his body type. And you know, you look at a guy like Big Country in the South, you know, he's in bad shape and whatnot, but he usually shows up in good shape in terms of his cardio. Black belt in jiu-jitsu, also to a knockout puncher, but he's coming off of two losses in a row. You know, the Matt Mitrione loss, and of course, as I mentioned, the Sergei Karatanov loss. And, you know, it could be that we're seeing sort of the downswing of his career, because, you know, if you look at his last six fights, he's 2-4. And it's not very good, folks. The hell? Disconnect? What's going on here, Tony? Am I still on the air or what? Oh, good. Okay, I got reconnected here. Let me, yeah. So, you know, we got that fight, which is very, very exciting. I think it's going to be very exciting. And I am very much looking forward to that, folks. And, of course, you've got the main event. How could you neglect the main event between Paul Daly? I'm a believer in Michael Venom Page. Not that you really, really have to be. I mean, you know, you shouldn't be. He's fought spectacular fights. He sort of like reminds me of Israel Adesanya. You know, you look at a guy like Israel Adesanya, he's the same height virtually as Michael Venom Page. Very, very flashy, you know, karate style, kickboxing style, although Adesanya has more of a kickboxing Muay Thai background. And Michael Venom Page has a karate style background, but is a very, very effective karate fighter in MMA. And some of the kicks that Michael Venom Page has landed, and some of the knees that he's landed in his fights have just been absolutely amazing to watch. And, you know, I think both of these guys, Adesanya and Michael Venom Page, are worthy of the hype. And certainly, you know, have proven themselves thus far to potentially be the next, you know, generation of MMA fighters out there, notable and high-profile MMA fighters out there. And so, I really, really think that this is going to be a really highly watched fight, and I think a lot of fans out there are going to be in for a real treat for this, you know, myself included. You know, as I said earlier in the show, this is a fight that has been a few years in the making. You know, you've got two guys from the UK that are very, very brash, are very, very exciting, primarily knockout artists, and you know, they're very outspoken, and so, you know, you have a very, very good recipe for a great fight. You know, it's unfortunate that it couldn't happen in the UK, but you know what? It's happening, better late than never. And, you know, both of these guys, I would say both of these guys are not necessarily, or they're still potentially in their prime. They're, you know, relatively young guys, not too old. Paul Daly, I think, is, 33. You know, Michael Bennett Page, 32, 31 in that area. As I mentioned, they're seemingly in their prime, and, you know, now is a really, really good time to have this fight and whatnot. And so, you know, Michael Venom Page, the knock on Michael Venom Page up until this point is that he hasn't fought the competition that some others have fought. And, you know, there may be some truth to that. I mean, because if you look at Paul Daly, you know, for example, you know, we've talked about Paul Daly before on this program. Paul has really fought a lot of contenders, former champions at welterweight. And, you know, we all know what Paul Daly's weakness is. You know, we all know, you know, when it comes to fighting a really, really good wrestler, you know, chances are he's going to have some problems with the guy that's going to be able to get him on the ground, you know, subdue him there. But this is a guy, Paul Daly, who has victory. I mean, it's not that he hasn't beaten wrestlers. He's beaten wrestlers before, but primarily that's been his Achilles heel, is just fighting a wrestler who wants to neutralize his explosive striking power. But he's got real notable wins over George Masvidal. He's got the wins over Lorenz Larkin, Brennan Ward. I was there for that. That was just a real nasty knee that took place no, I wasn't there for that. I'm sorry. That was in California. I was there for the press conference. That was really absolutely devastating. And, you know, Daly's career stretches back. He's got, wins over Martin Campman and a whole bunch of other fighters out there that are very, very notable. And he's been tested. He's been tried. And I think that would be an advantage for him going into this fight. You know, I mean, you know, typically, you know, if Paul Daly does lose, it's by a decision or a submission from, you know, a talented or better grappler, you know. That's really it. He was TKO'd by Nick Diaz years ago. But, you know, for the most part, he's durable on his feet, even if he is receiving strikes from his opponents. And you would expect that to be the case from here. The only physical advantage I could see for Michael Venom Page is his reach. Michael Venom Page is about 6'3". He has a longer reach, and he's going to certainly utilize that to his advantage. I don't see this fight going to the ground. I'd be very, very surprised if it went to the ground. And so it's just going to be, you know, can Paul Daly get inside, neutralize his reach, MVP's reach, and, you know, land one of these hooks, these devastating strikes that Paul Daly is certainly capable of inside, you know. And Michael Venom Page, you know, I think he's going to do a lot of clinch work. He's going to break off. He's going to use his kicks. He's going to use his strikes. We should see a lot of spinning techniques, spinning elbows and back fists and fill in the blank. Because, you know, if you're Michael Venom Page, I don't think that you're really too worried about takedown. So why wouldn't he throw kicks? Why wouldn't he be able to throw kicks or want to throw kicks? You know, so this is going to be a real exciting fight, and the winner of this fight gets to advance and have a chance to win $1 million in addition to their fight purse, courtesy of 50 Cent. Okay, we're starting to see now a lot of big fight purses that promotions are starting to use and try to throw out there to their fighters, which is really, really good. It's good to see fighters get $1 million paydays, which is not too often in the sport of mixed martial arts and whatnot. And so, you know, this is a very, very good fight, a fight that is going to be very, very pleasing to the fans. And, you know, I cannot wait to be there. It's going to be very exciting to see this live and in person ladies and gentlemen. This is going to be on the Paramount Network on DAZN, this is going to be a part of the Jesus Christ. They should ticket this. You know, I don't know if you heard that, but I'm right on Main Street here, and the motorcycles go by, and it's just so loud, and there should be a township ordinance. Should ticket that guy. It's just too loud. Could blow out somebody's eardrums, ladies and gentlemen. Did I ever tell you the time when I was at UFC 214 and I almost got into a fight with a biker outside? Yeah, I drove all the way to California for UFC 214 a couple of years ago. And, you know, in California and Las Vegas, where I lived for a little while after that, it's much different than driving in New Jersey and New York. You know, I'm used to driving in New Jersey and New York, and I've driven in New York City for, you know, hundreds and hundreds of miles many, many times throughout my life. And I'm fairly comfortable with driving, even though it's probably the toughest place on earth to drive. But California is different for me. In California, you know, the lanes are different. The roads are different. It's just very, very difficult to get used to. And I cut this biker off, but it wasn't like that bad. I was like maybe a car length ahead of the biker. And I was going like 4 or 5 miles an hour, and he wasn't anywhere near me. But this guy was a goddamn hothead. You know, he was just such a freaking hothead that he had anger issues. And he comes like, you know, after I cut him off, he comes like right like 2 inches away from my car, and he starts revving his engine. And he starts, you know, just cursing. I'm like, listen, man, just relax, all right? I'm not going to get out of the car right now, because I would have killed this guy. I know I would have. I would have beaten the crap out of this guy if I was really, like, upset, if I really, really wanted to make an issue out of it. I said, you know, you have anger issues, man. I didn't raise my voice or anything like that, but, you know, he's just an asshole, the guy. And so, you know, we left, and then I was driving in front of the Honda Center, and I saw him. It was almost like he was looking for me. It was almost like, you know, he had this sudden recharge of anger, and he was looking for me, and he didn't find me, and you know, whatever. But, you know, sometimes these bikers are people that I don't know what their deal is. Not that I have anything against bikers. I one time apprehended a pagan, and that was pretty scary. I apprehended a pagan motorcycle guy, and that was probably one of the scariest apprehensions I've ever made in my life. We had a whole bunch of knives on him. We had to call the police, and they had to take him out by gunpoint, ladies and gentlemen. Because this guy was a real nasty guy, and to be honest with you, I don't even know if he was a real pagan, because once we had him arrested, usually if somebody's in a motorcycle gang, or if you arrest somebody in Bloods and Crips, by the way, I work in a semi law enforcement capacity, so I don't want to really reveal too much about, you know, my job, but you know I work with the police and. Let's just say I apprehend some bad guys. That's you know part of my job. I have a career outside podcasting, and I have, you know, for going on 10 years now. I'm a full-time student. I do a lot. I have 2 jobs, folks. Fill in the blank. I'm just killing myself here. And so this guy was a real nasty guy. He had a mohawk, real short. But just menacing guy, just crazy, you know, would stare you down and just wasn't a nice guy. He really wasn't. And we ended up arresting him, having arrested. Cops took him down by gunpoint. And when we pressed charges on him, nothing happened. I mean, we got the subpoena to go to court for him. But usually, my understanding is that if you have somebody arrested who's affiliated with a gang, who's like a real pagan or a Hell's Angel or a Blood or a Crypt, the state police will get involved, and they'll have to work with the local authorities and create a file and document it and all that stuff. And I talked to the police, and there was none of that with this guy. This guy was just released. You know, he did have to go to court. I don't know what happened. He probably pled guilty and got a fine, like, you know, 99.9% of the people do, but it was just weird. So I started to question whether or not he was a real authentic pagan. But I can tell you, though, he had the authentic pagan jacket. It was a real pagan jacket that he would wear. And so, you know, usually you can't wear a pagan jacket if you're not an authentic pagan, because if you do and the pagans find out about it, then guess what? You're going to be in hot water with the pagans, okay? And I don't want any problems with the pagans, ladies and gentlemen. I got enough problems in my world. I don't need any problems with the goddamn pagans, okay? Or the Hell's Angels or whatever. Okay. You've got UFC on ESPN, and I got to tell you, I'm really excited about this card. I really am. I mean, you know me, folks. If I don't like a card, it's whatever's on my mind. I don't say anything to pacify anybody. I take unpopular positions. I make a lot of ridiculous statements on Twitter because I'm satisfying this need to just release whatever's on my mind, to do whatever the hell I want to do, ladies and gentlemen, and let the chips fall where they may. That's it. And I've been very critical. Last week I released a YouTube video. Didn't do too well, but 40-second video of how UFC 234 is a disgrace. It's not earning your business. It's not worth the pay-per-view cost, and the UFC is just spitting out a whole bunch of fighters at us to fill up, you know, network time, television time, and to almost insult your intelligence. You know, it's too many cards. It's too many fighters. That's been my complaint for the last couple of years. And even these shills that I was talking about earlier, these prostitutes that call themselves MMA media members, they don't know everything about these fights. They can't even keep up with these cards. And so, you know, it's a real problem. You know, it's a business, and, you know, they're overproducing these cards. And that's a topic for another discussion. But when the UFC has a good card, you got to be honest. You got to say this is a really, really good card. I'm very excited about this card. The main event, Francis Ngannou versus Cain Velasquez. Now, Francis Ngannou, typically you would think, would be tailor-made for Cain Velasquez. This is a guy who doesn't have good cardio. Although, you know, I thought he got overly criticized for his performance against Stipe. I thought he did pretty well in that fight. But he wasn't completely out of that fight and landed some good shots. And then, you know, his fight versus Derek Lewis, that was a disaster. Nobody threw any punches in that fight. And then Curtis Blaydes, he looked good, and he knocked out Curtis Blaydes. I don't think it was a fast stoppage over there in China. But he doesn't have good takedown defense. He doesn't really know anything off of his back. Jimmy Smith said he's not too athletic. Well, I don't know. I think he may be athletic, but he's very, very powerful. But you would think that he would be tailor-made for Cain Velasquez, and ideally he would be, but Cain Velasquez has been plagued with injuries, he's been plagued with time off his entire career. He didn't fight once in 2018. And, you know, he's really, you know, very, very good fighter. You know, I don't know that he would be considered the greatest heavyweight of all time. But, you know, we don't know if this is the Cain Velasquez that we saw, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago when he was the champion. You know, if this is the same fighter that would beat Junior Dos Santos and beat Brock Lesnar and, beat a lot of fighters. I mean, he only has 2 losses on his record. You know, that was to Fabricio Verdum and Junior Dos Santos and everybody else he's beaten. And he's a cardio machine, and he's very, just diligent in his work ethic and very well-rounded, very good wrestler, very great ground and pound. But he leaves his chin up in the air, Cain Velasquez, and Father Time eventually catches up with all of us. And Cain Velasquez is, you know, 36 years old, 37 years old. So that's what's making this fight intriguing. And, you know, look, I hate to say it, but, you know, even if Velasquez does win, how long is it going to take him to fight again? You know, with certain fighters, you just get frustrated and you say, you know what, the guy, for whatever reason, you know, Robert Whittaker is one of them, Dominic Cruz, he's always going to be out, and he's just not going to be able to have a a sustainable MMA career. I don't know what it is. And some fighters have bad luck, and he just may have bad luck and just may be plagued with injuries and whatnot. But you know, I hope that he doesn't really do that, because this fight is really going to tell us a lot about Cain Velasquez. And you know, if Francis Ngannou wins, he lands one of these shots, then you know what? The hype is not for nothing. You know, I think that a lot of people were very dismissive of him after he lost to Stipe. And, you know, they said, oh, what a terrible job. I don't think he did that bad in that fight. You know, he doesn't have wrestling. I don't know that he's gotten that much better since that fight in terms of wrestling defense and you know, grappling and whatnot. But who knows? You know, there's been some knock about Francis Ngannou and his unwillingness to learn. And, you know, some people have said he's got a little bit of an ego. And I don't know. You know, I really, really don't know. But you know, if he wins, you know, then guess what? This guy is right there in title contention. He's probably still ranked in the top, you know, two or three in that division. He is. So, you know, I don't write off Francis Ngannou. I haven't written him off yet. And I think that he hasn't gotten a lot of the praise that he deserves because of his loss to Stipe and because of his subsequent, you know, performance against Derek Lewis and whatnot. But we'll see what happens, you know. He's a heavyweight fighter that could knock your head into the next row. And that's really, really something that everybody wants to see. Courtney Casey versus Cynthia Calvillo. I like both of these fighters. I'm a big fan of women's MMA, and I think Calvillo's going to win by submission because, you know, Courtney is probably a little bit better of a striker, but I just don't see Cynthia not being able to get this fight on the ground and not being able to win. But, you know, we'll see what happens there. You know, anything happen. I would put my money on Cynthia Calvillo. Cron Gracie versus Alex Caceres. You know, when is the last time that we've seen a real Gracie fighter that has taken over the world? Sometimes these guys get overhyped because of their last name, and I don't know if that's the case here. I certainly hope that, you know, Cron Gracie can debut and make a very, very impressive performance and remain undefeated. But, you know, I mean, it happens, and we'll see. In the featherweight division, you've got Andre Feely versus Miles Jury. I don't like this Miles Jury. He had a big, big problem with his manager a couple of years ago. I don't even know if this guy still managed him. Real jerk. Real arrogant guy. I requested an interview with him a couple of years ago, and you know, it was like a week or two before the fight, and his manager got all pissy. Oh, that's not how it's done. And he started, you know, screw you. I don't like this Jury, and I hope that Andre Feely wins, and maybe Miles Jury will get cut after this. Who knows? I don't know. He got obliterated by Chad Mendes. Got obliterated by Cowboy, who was talking all this crap that I was great, he's great, he's great. And then, you know, Cowboy shut him up, and you know, we'll see what happens. And then also, too, you've got one more, Jimmy Rivera versus Aljamain Sterling. I am really looking forward to this. This is going to be a really interesting fight because Aljamain has gotten really, really good with his wrestling and his submission. And his striking, too. Aljamain has definitely improved, you know, over the past, you know, since his loss to Caraway and since his knockout loss versus Marais. So Aljamain is on the rise. And Jimmy Rivera has been a really, really steady fighter. And he's coming off a loss, too, to Marais. And he's a workhorse, Jimmy. He's a real tough kid. I like Jimmy. I like a lot of these Tiger Showman fighters. This is a fight I don't know. I don't know who's going to win, but I tell you what, I'm very intrigued to see this fight. Scott Holtzman's fighting Nick Lentz, very, very good fight there. Ashley Evans-Smith versus Andrea Lee. I think Ashley Evans-Smith is going to use her wrestling to win, but Andrea Lee is a submission threat off her back, so that's going to be an intriguing fight too. But all the way around, This is a very, very good card at the Talking Stick Resort Arena there in Arizona, and I can't wait to see it. And our good buddy Shannon the Cannon Rich will probably be there too. And hopefully we're in for a very exciting night of fights. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm out of here. It's been an hour. I got to go to Bellator. Please follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/BobCarsonMMA. You can also follow me on Instagram, same handle, instagram.com/BobCarsonMMA. Friend me on Facebook, facebook.com/BobCarsonMMA. And until next time, ladies and gentlemen, show some respect.